Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Wonderful music. Okay, welcome to our Wednesday night. We've got a special, very special guest tonight, but I want to say a few words. First of all, Fassel, you got a lot to get ahead of the way I ended last time. I mean, you got a long way to go to beat that. But just want to say a few words to you about Sunday. First and foremost, I just appreciate your prayers so very much. I was at the VA today, and they did the sonogram of my heart, talked to the doctor, and they're going to put all these things together. But so far, the cardiologist here at the Plano Baylor Heart Hospital and the doctors there at the VA, one, do not know what happened. They do not, one cardiologist here said he does not believe that it was related to my heart. Doesn't know why and what happened, but in the bottom line of it, people, going by the way I felt, going by the things that I've been told, the way I looked, all I can say, in my opinion, that it was a wonder of God. I know you immediately went into prayer, and I'm a firm believer, as you know from John 17, in the power of prayer. And James says that the prayer of the righteous can accomplish much. And I firmly believe that what happened from the few moments when I sat down to about 30 minutes later was because of your prayers. And that's the only way I know how to look at it. I don't think they're going to be able to find out what happened. I really don't. They might, but I don't think so. And I just thank you so much for your prayers, and you continue to be in prayer. Most of you know John Hintz, just great, great friend. But here's what he wrote to his church. First of all, Herman is doing well. He had to be taken to the ER during the service on Sunday. While he was preaching, he said he started getting weak, chilled, and sweating. It got worse and worse until he said, "I have to sit down." They called 911. After 2 days of intensive testing at the hospital here, they could find nothing wrong with him and sent him home. Of course, I have my own view of what happened. Either Herman was slain in the spirit. You're probably familiar with that expression. I'm not familiar with that. Slain in the spirit during the service, or, this is the good one, he did not finish his notes, and rather than telling people he had read out his notes, he just sat down. So, but he said, please keep him in your prayers. Now, I feel great. I hate to use the word normal. That's a frightening word. But I feel normal. I feel great. But John has many more battles in front of him. It's really interesting because I went down Sunday. Well, would have been 3 days before that, he was taken to the hospital in an ambulance. And with his hip. And I told him, would you just stay healthy so I can stay healthy? And he said, would you quit trying to one-up me on everything that I do? But for your prayer. Secondly, I went to see my doctor, my doctor Monday. This is John. My doctor said that after my hip has gone out twice, he does not think it will stabilize on its own. Too much damage has been done in the motorcycle wreck. My doctor thinks because of the previous damage to my pelvis, hip, muscles, and nerves, he needs to go back in and make some repairs. He is going to change out some of the parts with parts which are designed so that they will not come out. I will lose a little mobility, but I have the confidence that my hip is going to stay in place. This surgery will take place Wednesday, October 17th. This means that prayer that might that night might be prayer might be done according to his plan and purpose. He says the Grizzlies are coming into town, and they'll be covering the Sunday following the 17th. And so, please remember John. Keep John in your prayers. Keep me in your prayers. Keep John in your prayers. And that the hip thing will work out all right. He was going to come and be with us in December and teach for us for a week. I was going to try to con y'all into a whole week during the week at night. But now he's not going to be able to with the brace and all that's going on. So please continue to be in prayer for John. Any questions? Okay. Now, what I'm going to do now is I want to turn. Let's see, it would have been Monday. Because I announced it last Wednesday, didn't I? Yeah, so it would have been Monday. John and I were talking on the phone, and the day before, Vassal and his wife, Harry, were at the church, and he was just telling me about just how really super the presentation was on what's going on with the Muslims and Christians and Pakistan and all. And we just started talking, and he said, wait a minute, you know, I think he's in Texas. And I said, in God's country. Yeah, okay. Well, do you know where? And he said, in South Texas. And so while we're talking on Skype, he gets on the phone and reaches Vassal and says, where are you? And are you going to be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area? So he said, well, we're going to have to drive up from where we are to head on back to Northern Arizona. So anyway, I got a hold of him and his wife, Carrie, got a hold of him and kind of just put this together very quickly. And last Wednesday, I was making the announcement, and Laura and Chris Day came up and said, well, first of all, his name is Vassal, not however I was pronouncing it, but and he said, we know them. They cooked Pakistani food for us when we were in Phoenix. And so they have been more than gracious in having them stay at their house. And tomorrow night, if you want to just fellowship, he's going to come and speak to the kids, young kids over at the Dags, and then we'll have some fellowship time together. So you can interact and talk and ask the questions that you may want to ask. Because last night, I went over, there was just his family, and walked right in, took him into the living room, and started hitting him with questions. Didn't say, how you doing? How's your health? How's the car? How's the family? How's your toe? No, I mean, went right to it. And because I just had questions I wanted to know, and I know that you do. So tomorrow night, please feel free to come out to the Good Dags, and you have a question on how to get there and all. I know exactly how to get there, but I couldn't tell you. And so I'm going to have, since Chris and Laura were previous friends, I'm going to have Chris come up and introduce whatever way he sees fit. Honor to have you.
All right, I'm not going to take a lot of Vassal's time because he's got a lot of stuff to talk about, but it is our pleasure to have them come to our home and stay with us. And last night we were having a grand time. I do have to say one thing about Pastor Maddox, though. My neighbor Richard, who's a paramedic, was talking to Herman last night, and he kept telling Herman, you were heading towards the light, but we got you coming back, man. You're heading towards the light. We got you. So we had a grand time giving him a hard time. We were glad Judith wasn't there. She might have gotten a little squeamish in all the things we were talking about with Herman. But it was a great time. Neighbors, friends, folks in the area that came over and enjoyed some time. And then after that, we had a phenomenal time with a set of drums that my boys are now addicted to. And we had the pots and pans out. We had their drums out. We had the bongos out, and we were rocking. I think we were having a spiritual moment. Neighbors thought we were having something else. I don't know what it was crazy, but we had a good time, and we did get the opportunity to spend a couple of minutes. Last year when we went down and saw Buck and Heather, we had the opportunity to meet Carrie and Vassal. And he fixed a phenomenal meal and Pakistani food, extremely hot. It was great. But we also had the opportunity to watch him interact with the kids in the crash that they what they call crash down there, their youth group, and they were having a good time, and it's just so fun to watch Fassel interact with the kids, and just coming from Larry's house and all the kids there and watching him speak to them, they eat him up. And Carrie was just all the stories and support and all the things that go on. It's my pleasure to introduce Fassel and Carrie John. And we are so proud to have you here. So thank you for joining us. Come on up. I'm not taking any more of your time.
Okay. Okie dokie. Can you hear me? Awesome. Can I move this? Sure. Thank you very much. Ooh. Okay, huh? Yeah. Yes. That's why everybody needs a suitable helper. That's why God said, Adam is not good to be alone. So, thank you very much. Thank you, dear pastor, for opening up a wonderful opportunity for us to share the excellency of God, what He's doing in Pakistan, and our God is awesome God. He is awesome. As Paul said, He is the gift, is undescribable gift. So before we talk about the gift and the giver and His awesomeness, I want to pray. Because English is my second language, and I always ask the Spirit of God to help me for the audience to understand, because I know what I'm saying, but I don't know if you're willing to understand. So let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening that you designed even before we ever form in our mom's wounds. Thank you so much for this wonderful time. So bless our time and sanctify our fellowship and every word, every phrase, and everything, Father, we talk about your essence, about your sovereignty, about your love. Father, may it be a wonderful edification and wonderful blessing for your body, for us to learn and rely on you more. And thank you, Father, for this body. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think I got 1 hour, right? Okay. And I okay. So my name is Fassel John, Fassel like a castle. Most of people have a problem, and sometimes people say bad word. So anyways, we don't want to go there. That's a lesson for Hebrew and Greek. So, yeah. So I was born in Pakistan and lived in Pakistan. And first I want to talk about how I became a believer. It's a long story, but I will try to keep it short so everybody can enjoy, so we can, you know, jump in a different places to follow what God is doing. So born in Pakistan, and 4 generations, my 4th generation was involved in the black magic, which is real black magic, not as somebody who's doing a phony show on the TV station for getting your $10 to join him and enjoy the popcorn. No, real deal. According to Bible, Satan is the enemy of God and those who follow his son Jesus Christ. So he is real, which is, you know, so many times it's sad that so many churches, they don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about the enemy. So I want to bring your attention. That enemy is real, and he's a deceiver, and he is the one who deceives believers to not to follow the path or the statue of Jesus Christ. The commandments, the awesome teaching of God. So we were involved in a black magic, and black magic is, you know, following demon spirits, Satan's power, following him, and we were following Hinduism. I have many, many, you know, objects and images we were worshiping according to the days and according to those demons, God, they were, you know, designed to worship in so and so day. And then we were also involved in Buddhism, which is, you know, hate to say that, but it's a good thing that he teach about discipline. He cannot help himself. He's so fat. So we were following him, and also we were following, you know, dead body worship. We were following graves, worshipping dead peoples, and that was our worship. And also my dad was involved in a group called Chia Group. Those are the followers of Ali. Ali is the nephew of Muhammad, and they have a big group of majority in Pakistan. And they get together every year for 10 days, and their worship is to cut themselves. Cut themselves with a sharp knife, like five or six sharp knife with a chain and wood handle, and they cut their back and their head. So that was my dad, and my one brother was doing the worship of that, you know, religion. Involved in that all, and also we were involved in Christianity. Christianity, Jesus was also the other God, as a good prophet, as a good, and Mary, and all other things. So we were following all kind of stuff, but we were confused. And how that I got to know, one pastor came to our town, and he was gathering the youth group, and he invited me in, can I take it? He invited me in a youth group and say, can you join us for worship? And that was a wonderful opportunity for me. So I joined them, and he said, can you play drums? We don't have anybody to play music. And I was playing Congo. Congo is a three drums. So I start joining them and worshiping with them and studying the Word of God and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ when I was 16 years old. And it was blessed. It was blessed after hearing him enough saying, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the life giver. Jesus is the one who will make access for you or anyone who believe to the throne of heaven, through the throne of God. So that was a wonderful thing I learned in the first hand. So as you learn truth, you are excited and you want to tell others, and that was my desire. So I became a believer, and I'm excited, and now I want to tell my family who are involved from generation to generation in witchcraft, in all kind of gods. And I'm pointing out saying, Jesus is the only way. He is only one qualified who raised his hand. He said, if anyone is here who can say or find any sin in me, because I am the perfect one. I'm the perfect one. So I'm pointing Jesus Christ's name, his holiness, his righteousness, and that he's the only unique. They were getting offended. They were getting mad. They were not happy because I was disgracing their object. I was disgracing their statues. I was disgracing their idols. And after that, you know, Jesus said, I did not come to make peace but have war. And that war is not, you know, outside of your home. It's inside. When you stand for the truth, and people who are not agree with you, they will go nuts. They will go cuckoo. So that's literally what happening with them. They were not agree. They were not happy. And my dad was using abusive language against me when I pick up the Bible. It was not my own Bible. I borrow from someone and start eating the Word of God. Like Jeremiah said, you know, eat my Word. And I was eating the Word of God and studying, and my dad was saying, Are you becoming a next generation scholar? Are you becoming an angel or something? What's going on? Because we also use the Bible way, way back. And still many, many witchcraft people use the book of Revelation to make black magic. Quran used to do demonic exercises. So, he said, are you reading the book of Revelation? I said, no, I'm reading the whole book, the whole Bible. So, long story short, they were not happy. They were not happy, they were angry, they were disagree, and I'm continually pointing Jesus Christ, bringing Jesus' name on their face. And it took 5 years to convince them, took 5 years and prayer, a lot of prayer, for them to understand the only way. And when they were able and become a believer, that's good news. They became a believer. And they're still alive. So they became a believer, and I remember we have a big rock statue that was a idol we have in our home, and many other pictures of demons' god. We were worshiping and doing the sacrifices and doing all kind of stuff. And we have a lot of followers in Pakistan who was coming to my grandfather, coming to my great-great-grandfather's graves and wishing for good. And Satan is real. So do not be deceived. You must know your enemy if you wanna, you know, conquer anything. That's the best thing I think ever they train to the Marines or Army. You know your enemy and the territory. So we must know our enemy. So we were worshiping and I said, Dad, this is the time. So I took that object, bring out our home from our house, and tie a rope on that object neck, and I was dragging in the streets. In the streets, and kids and people were saying, oh, they will kill you, they will harm you, they will do these kind of evil things to you. And I said, if this demon God cannot deliver himself from this small rope, how can he harm me? Psalms 1:15, that they have feet, cannot walk, they have eyes, cannot see, they have a nose, cannot smell, have a tongue, cannot speak. So I said, this is a man-made, it's not real, and it's have no power. And I'm still alive, thank God, everybody is witness and saying, wow. So we did that, and then my dad and mom, they were going through little bit crazy stuff. A lot of attack by demonic activities. The gods, the object they were, you know, worshipping. Even I don't want to use ever to call them God. Demons. Demons, they were worshipping. So they were choked. Door was slammed. Chaos happened in our home, in the family, in business, and many, many people were turned their back on us, especially my grandfather, who disowned my father, who was the firstborn from his family officially. So all these things going on, temptation, trials, and ups and downs, everything. I can't put these things in words because it will be too long, and we got more than an hour. So, and these things going on, and I was continually encouraging my dad. Dad, Christian way of journey is hard. It is so hard. It's so hard. There's so many valleys. There's so many mountains. There's so many valley of concern and a test. A lot of stuff. So Dad, this is the walk you have started and journey you have started. It's up to you. Under His power, you can finish on your feet or you can finish on your elbows. It's up to you. But you will finish under His power. So simply way, Dad, you can grumble and continually saying, I trust you, God, or you can say, thank you, give me power to go through. And he's continually going through and continue, you know, facing tests and trials and many other things. I remember we were talking about he just recently fired from his job. His job is as a sweeper after serving government 14 years. He was fired because his son is in United States. So they fired him and they said, you don't need job. Your son in United States, why you need a job? So these kind of still trials and temptation happening to make him to cry out to God or say, God, why are you doing that to me? Like children in the wilderness. Give us water, give us water. Okay, here you go. Give us food. Crazy stuff. So, we are in that nature, we never satisfy. So, they are still moving along with the plan of God, grumbling, testing, falling, standing, and that is a Christian way of life. It's not, as many preachers speak, as prosperity life. No. It is a tough life ever anybody can go through. If we want to see that, the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Awesome, awesome 11th chapter with a lot of heroes. So let's move. So, I became a believer proclaiming Jesus Christ. Everybody know us by our name, our family, and our business. Many people know that we are Satan's worshiper. And now I'm proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. Many villages, many cities, and they are saying, how can any good thing can come out from this family, from this city? How come? Like same Jesus was, you know, told by, or they were making notes on, that how can any good thing can come out from Nazareth? He is the son of carpenter, his sister's in our home. How can such things happening through him? So these common was making by made by more peoples, and I say, my God is powerful. My God is powerful, and now I am pointing people from the darkness to the light. So these things going on, and God let me do after worship to become a youth leader in our area, teaching youth and youth continually, and God's promised that. Humble yourself under my mighty arms and I will exalt you. I will exalt you. And he did it. He did it. So, now after teaching youth, God blessed me to have a church. So now we have a church in Pakistan and we are teaching the Word of God, and the Word of God, and especially sound gospel, is going out every day. Every day. And that's awesome blessing for me. So I want to go a little bit back to the point. Maybe you are wondering how I got here. How? Pakistani got into United States? How? Let's talk about that. Our God is excellent God. When He plans, nobody can violate. When He's opened the door, nobody can shut. Whenever He closed, nobody can open. So, I was serving God, and we have a tradition in Pakistan. So, I'm serving, and everybody, you know me that I'm servant of God and proclaiming His name. So, we have a tradition of arranged marriages. Maybe you guys are familiar with that or still going on here? I don't think so. So, arranged marriages, 16 arranged marriages invitation come to my home, asking my mom and dad and saying, we want to take your son to be our son. That's the term they use. Our son to be our son-in-law. And my mom and dad saying, what do you want to do? I say, okay, I will pray. Pray after pray, pray after pray, and God saying, no, no, no. So, there's another cool part. As you are leading youth and rubbing shoulder with youth, and there's girls also saying, God told us that that you are my husband. Especially one. She came. She was coming to every Bible study. She was going everywhere we were going. And I'm teaching and she's staring at me. And I was thinking, oh, maybe she's seeing Jesus in me. But there was something else going on. So she came one day and she said, God told me that you are my husband. I said, sorry, he haven't told me yet. So my mom and dad still asking, you are getting old and we have a responsibility to do our, you know, part. And I say, Mom, I know I have told you over and over that my wife will come from other country. That was my desire and pray God has put in my heart, that my wife will come other country. And when I was saying to them, they were saying, we don't know anybody. You don't know that language, the foreign language. You are not educated. I left my school in the fifth grade. And back then, in 1985, there was, not 85, 95, there was no clue about English language in our school, which where I was going. You don't know anybody in a politician, our relatives, know any close relation we have in other country. How come this is going to happen? And I was saying, our God is mighty. Our God is powerful. And guess what? I was holding on that scripture, Psalms 37 verse 4. And I'm going to paraphrase. Delight your soul in Lord Jesus Christ, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Simply saying desire. Delight your soul. Delight yourself in Lord. He will give you the desires of heart. So I was waiting on that promise, saying, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. If that desire is from you, you will make a way. And I was reminding to myself, He is the God. When army is behind His people, He can depart the Red Sea to make a path for His people. And my God is big and great and awesome, and He can do. And that God is real. If anyone, especially young people who are looking for their right man or woman, wait upon Lord. Based upon that scriptures, or based upon John 15. Abide in me and I in you and you in me, and we will have awesome, perfect fellowship, and you will bear much fruit, and that fruit will speak out shoutly, and everybody will say, yes, God did it. And that happened. I was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and reminding myself, Lord is a powerful. So here is a news came from my cousin who was working with the missionary team from United States. First time they came, and second time that was the mission trip in Pakistan. So he told me, he said, five missionaries coming to Pakistan. And they will be here for 3 weeks, and first they want to stop in Nigeria. They're doing mission work over there for 3 weeks. And he said, five people, and they are American, and they don't know how to use Pakistani toilet. So we have to put American toilet for them so they can have a little comfort. Otherwise, you are sitting like that, and it's good exercise for them. So I said, okay, we will do that. And he said, five people is coming. So here I am sitting in a Pakistani toilet with a hammer and bar and breaking the bricks. And the Spirit of God start talking, saying, there is a special gift is coming for you. The special gift is coming for you. And I knew that. The minute I heard, I say, wow. And I remember my cousin said, two ladies and three gentlemen. And when I heard that voice, and I'm having an inner dialogue and breaking all the noises, by the way, when you are hearing God's Spirit, whether you are in your bedroom or in a public place or in your bathroom, that God is omnipotent and omnipresent, and He can talk anywhere. He can talk anywhere. So don't put your God in a box. Never. Never. He can speak anywhere He wants and He desires. So Spirit of God speaking and saying, there's a special gift is coming for me. And I said, which one? There's a two coming, and which one? So, just so happen. That's the phrase I like to use to point back the sovereignty of God and the plan of God. Just so happen. There's a nothing happen itself. There's a nothing happen as the accident. Everything is pre-planned by God. So just so happen, they were finishing Nigeria mission trip, and two people decided to go back to United States. One lady and one gentleman. And now, two gentlemen and one lady is coming, and the scripture just popping up in my mind. My God is not the God of confusion. So that choice was made very crystal clear for me. And she came, and we were preparing a place for them to worship and preach and teach. And I heard voice when we were putting banners, and I said, wow, she is beautiful. I knew she did not know that. She have a no clue. She have a no clue. She was not there for looking for husband. She was there to follow the plan of God. So that was going on, and we finished our first night, and the second day we were in another village. And we finished our meeting, and I went to her, and in my broken English, I hope you can understand me now, but way, way back, no way. No way. I was speaking very broken English. Very hard to understand. So I asked with my broken English first question to her. I said, are you bachelor? And she was talking to Scott Grande, and they were, you know, having fun. And she said, Scott, do I look like a bachelor? And then after they, you know, giggling and laughing, and she said, you mean I'm single? I said, yes. She said, yes. I said, oh, thank you. So we finished, and then third day we finished, and it was the time for them to go back to United States. So my heart is boom, 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 boom. It's the feeling like when you are losing something so much important. So much important. And I have no idea I can ever, never can put those emotions or feelings in words. My heart was beating so hard like I'm going to have a heart attack. And my body was like very hot, and but I remember when they were preparing to leave in the evening, I kept a one gift long ago under my bed. Small, broken, nasty, stinky bed. There was a small gift I bought. It was a clay pottery, right? Little miniature. Miniature. Yeah. And I kept that, and I bought, and I say, I will give this to someone who's very special. And that was the day when they were going to leave our town. And I went to my home, and I went to small shop and empty the biscuit box and pick up the box and wrap up with a notebook and say, it's for you, written by my friends, and a small letter full of Bible verses for her. Give it to her, present it to her, and she opened it and she read it and she said, wow. And we exchanged that moment our information. So we departed, and I was still feeling something like something important is going away. So day and night, that small voice and the face and the feeling and the moments we spent together on mission trip, it was live. It was live. And 2 months after, month or 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you
came
can.
In December, and then we were talking and emailing.
Yeah. Email was going on, and yeah. I was telling him, and she was writing back and forth, so our conversation was on the phone probably 5 to 10 minutes. Because when I'm running out words, I say, okay, I have to go. So that was going on. And I was on a mountain area. In the mountain area over beautiful mountain, we having a Bible conference, a Bible camp going on. We finish our supper. And usually that was my schedule to call her every morning for just little chit-chat. So, same thing over, hello, how are you, how are you, how are you, doing good? So, over and over, I don't know how can she bear me? So, anyways, so we finish. Yeah, she's being nice. So, I asked my friend, I said, you know, if you want to propose, or not propose, if you want to ask somebody to marry you, what you have to say in English? He said, simply say, will you marry me? Will you marry me? So I memorized that line. So according to our daily discussion, hello, how are you? What are you doing? I'm drinking my coffee and getting ready to go to work. And say, okay, I have a question. She said, what? I said, will you marry me? She said, what? I said, will you marry me? And she said, I will think about and pray about and then let you know. This is, we are married. Yeah, this February, 6 years ago. Yeah, so she have that going on in her mind, and she said, I will pray. Most of the time we do that as a believer. When we don't want to do that, often we do that, I will pray. And we often don't act upon that. So there's a wonderful principle. If you say, your yes be yes and your no be no. So anyways, she said, I will pray, but thank God she pray. She pray and I say, okay, you go ahead, pray. I know the answer. And she prayed and I returned home and she called. And after wrestling with God and arguing with God with some reasons, first of all, why I'm sharing that? Because it's God's plan. So she have a reason that, Faisal, I don't want to take your right woman away from you, first of all. That was her argument with God. Second, I cannot have a children. I have a cancer, so I cannot bear your children. I said, okay. Yeah, you had cancer. So, and then we have our age difference. And things, these three things was on top of the list. And I said, if God's, for example, put me in that position, I never have that ability to have a children, are you going to say no to God? And she said, never. And then I said, let's do it. Let's do it. Like in the Bible, you know, God told prophet Hosea and said, go and marry to a prostitute so I can display my unchangeable love for the nation of, for the children of Israel. And I said, let's do it. And I took and I violate every man-made tradition in Pakistan. Being a firstborn child, your parents want to see your seed on the ground as a child or daughter, and that was their first desire. So you can be remembered before when you go on. So I said, that's God's plan, and I'm going to take every risk, and I'm going to violate every man-made tradition because I'm following God-arranged marriage. So she heard that and she said, okay, I believe you are my husband, based upon Isaiah 55, verse 8. My way is not your way, that God told her. My way is not your way. My plan is not your plan. Thus say the Lord. And that's why Jeremiah said, He has a better plan for you. Not for adversary, not for, you know, disaster, but good plan. Wonderful, wonderful plan can ever be announced or made by living God. So she said, yes, you are my husband. And the third question I asked, when are you coming back? She said, it will take maybe 1-2 months. I said, okay, if, for example, you take 2 months and you coming back to Pakistan April 17 and give us your measurement and everything, we will do all the things, and you coming April 17 in the morning and you have a whole day to, you know, rest, so we will get married April 18. So that happened. That happened. She arrived there after more than 25 hours in the plane, and then 3 hour drive home back to our town, small town, and then she was like a baby doll. We have all kind of dresses. We actually have a 7 days of ceremony for weddings. So, but she was with us, so we did only 3 days. So she's a baby doll. My mom and sister putting the clothes off and putting on and on and on, and it was awesome, awesome time together. And when I look it back and I say, Lord, how she bear my broken English, how everything she was able to understand, and everything point back to His Spirit is able. His power is enormous. And He is awesome God. So, want to point you, if you guys have that kind of story, or if it's not that kind of story, some kind of story where you see God obviously work behind the scene, share with others. That is a wonderful tool to witness and bring Jesus Christ's name to the unknown, to the unreached. Simple. Tell a story. Tell a story about Jesus Christ, what He has done, what He did for you, when you were even not recognizing that He is working behind the scene. So, we got married. She was in three and a half months in Pakistan. We having a blast and everybody enjoying. Many people is coming, and she said, people are coming and watching me, and one condition, if anybody wanna see me, I wanna talk about Jesus. So there's many kind of people is coming, and she having a wonderful opportunity to tell about how this happened. Jesus did it. And even Muslims and Christians, all kind of people was coming, and they were witnessed by her to just sharing that was Jesus. That was Jesus. And that's a Jesus plan. So there was a rally going on between Pakistan and America. There was a flags burning, and back then President Bush, he was the president, so it was getting dangerous for her. So I said, Han, this is time for you to go. And she left the country, start immigration process. We are getting there, how I got here. So start the process of immigration, and it took 14 months. And that is even awesome. Sometimes takes 2 years, 3 years. So it took 14 months separation. So we were learning about God, and I was going through a lot of valleys of many kind of tests, accused by people saying, oh, your wife left you here and you're not going to ever see United States and never going to happen this and this. People were going crazy. But it was for God's purpose. So I learned in those 14 months the book of Job. Good book to rely on. And the book of Psalms. Five wonderful book and a small summary. Book of Job tells us how to suffer. The Proverbs tell us how to be wise. The Psalms tell us how to pray. And the Song of Solomon tells us how to love. And the book of Ecclesiastes tells us how to be faithful in unfaithful world. Very simple way. So I was studying those books, and awesome. And I can say I can relate to that Psalms where Paul, where David saying, "My soul is thirsty for you. My tear is a food of my tear. My food is my tear day and night. I wet my bed every day with the tears." The accusation was going on, the blames and the statements and saying, "She's American, she left, she's not coming back." And I was crying out to God. Waiting, waiting, waiting. And when I heard the news that I'm going, and I was shouting and telling everybody, and they were saying, "How come?" I said, "My God is powerful. My God is awesome. He is a living God. He is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and still alive. He's not the God of moon. He's not any other God who may be taking poop." Like in the incidents of where Elijah standing before the altar and he's saying, "Call, cry out to your God. Maybe he is doing something doo-doo." Our God is awesome God. So he answered and every jaw was dropped. Every jaw was dropped. And here I'm flying from Pakistan as a missionary to United States. And the first time when I step on American soil, or I can say, kids, correct me, they said, American concrete. And I was free. I was free. So you guys are blessed beyond your imagination, blessed by living God. So you still have that freedom, and it's going to be take one little courage to make Jesus Christ's name known. In your backyard, in your school, in your office, in your street, even 7-Eleven or any Texas God country burger place. Take one small ounce of courage. So you don't have any reason to say you will be persecuted. Your persecution in school or in public is this: "Jesus freak, get off me." That's it. You're not going to be put in a jail for the rest of your life or 10 years or charge a very good fine or maybe shot or destroy your community. This is not going to happen here. So as long we have that liberty, please use it. Use it, nobody going to shut you down. If anybody, any circumstance, anything is going to shut you down, it is you. It is me, nobody else. That God right privilege given by God, the liberty, the free will we have. No government. Not found in a constitution that you cannot talk about Jesus Christ. And if you want to talk about Jesus Christ, the book of Acts telling us about Peter and James, I think John, and they were before people, and they said, "You asking us to obey man rather than God?" So if your spirit of God is moving you, telling you, or spirit is God saying every day to you, don't hesitate. Please feel free. As a free, as a bold lion. Like Proverbs said, righteous man is a bold like a lion. Move forward. Make Jesus Christ's name known in God's country. In God's country. So I was free and I go nuts. I go everywhere and talk about Jesus Christ. Anybody ask me, "How are you?" I'm not just saying, "Fine. Praise the Lord. I'm very blessed." Okay. And some people wonder. So you have a lot of opportunity to talk about Jesus Christ. So that's the way I got in United States. It's a long journey, but we just, you know, what is the word? Condensed it. Thank you, Suitable. So now I want to talk about what God is doing in the United States and in Pakistan. And I want to talk about the mission. I'm a permanent resident in the United States. I have a green card, and I have a freedom to go to... Sure, we will go. Yeah. You have the miss. Okay. So I'm a permanent resident in the United States, and according to Homeland Security, I can stay longer in the United States than to stay away from the United States. So it's God's plan. Me and my wife, mostly I go to Pakistan for 5.5 months. And in those 5.5 months, I go every November, very end of November, and our ministry work is first in December. We do Christmas care package. And that Christmas care package is allow us to go to in many villages and communities with a small gift, to telling them that gift has come from other side of the world for you to make Jesus Christ the best gift for them. And we will show that video. That's the Christmas care package we do in Pakistan. And last year we were able to do more than 400, and this year we are looking almost 600 to 700 kids. Gentiles, believers, non-believers, wandering, restored, unrestored kids. So we go there and introduce. And this gift is just going to be eaten, but the gift we are want to talk about, that is eternal. Salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. And you have to do nothing. Only believe the giver. Yeah. Color book. Yeah, we bring a color book. Through color book, we teach them to color and also help them to memorize scriptures, and they can take home and put on their wall and say, wow, we did it. And this is a good way to teach them. So, this is the last year missions picture. This is our logo for Grace Bible Church Pakistan. And, yep. So, here is Carrie. Carrie goes for 6 to 7 weeks in Pakistan, and she was there last year in Pakistan, and she brought these wood pieces. Looks weird, but in the next picture you will see coming in the shape of sheep and shepherd. So Carrie was teaching Psalms 23, and in this picture she was saying how shepherd defend his sheep when, you know, the lion or any other wild animals come to attack. He have a rod, and that rod hit very hard. He know how to use that. So she was throwing at me. I was acting like a bully. So these are the villages, kid. We have 7 villages we visit every 8 villages we visit every evening, every week, and go each village every day. And we have a motorcycle. Our faithful Jesus servants goes every evening and teach kids, and also help the parents and read Bible and question and answer if they have anything. So that's the project. Carrie did it in Pakistan. And these mostly kids you will see in the pictures who are sitting on the couch or cart, those are Gentiles. Gentiles mean they are Muslim. So they come and they listen about the great shepherd who came and died and saved the sheep. And these are the pictures we are over there. Different villages, 7 villages, 2 community that Carrie do when she goes in Pakistan. And when I'm in Pakistan, we do crusade. Crusade, and that was the crusade we did. We did 2 crusade this year. With our time limit, and each crusade we have like probably 600 to 500 peoples each crusade, and it was fruitful. The gospel was made crystal clear to them. Yeah, it was a Catholic community, and We went there and make gospel crystal clear to them. And obviously there was also many other Gentiles too. And why? Because there's a big confusion in Pakistan. And I'm seeing that in United States too, more and more, that you have to do something to earn salvation. You have to be, you know, a puppet to do something for God. But Bible, there's no scripture saying that you have to earn salvation. It is a gift of God by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. So that's the gift we make, you know, crystal clear over there. And this is in a remote area, and Fortabas, nearby Indian border. We go there and we have to have our security. So that gunman was in the picture. He was there for protection. Protection. And these are the coins. There's a coin man. His name is Bird Kamazin. Wonderful man. We spend every year with him when we go to Bible conference in California. Wonderful man. Beautiful heart to serve Lord. And he have done like 100 Samoan languages. So he just did for us Urdu language. Also make available for us. So we go take in Pakistan. And this is a tool we use in Pakistan to bring the gospel. Also, we have an Arabic, an Urdu, and also Punjabi, and now in Sindhi. So there's the four languages so far we have. And this is our school. That was God's plan. Obviously, everything is God's plan. So that was God's answer of way of answer to prayer, Carrie's prayer. She was praying in United States, Lord, I want to open a school, Christian school, where she can, you know, talk about Jesus any way we want, and she can be the owner and do whatever she want and make His grace known. So she was praying and praying, and I was in Pakistan when we bought the church building and we were fixing, and just so happened out of the blue, teacher came and they said, why not we start a school, Christian school, where kids, the poor kids from the villages and kids who has been forced to convert to Islam and even forced to, you know, to follow their, you know, their pattern, to recite their faith over and over because it's Muslim school. So God was in that. So just so happened we start a school, and this is our second. This is the first year of our announcement for the examination. And Carrie did the announcement in Pakistan. So we have a Christian school where poor kids from villages, Muslim and Christians, they come to learn how to read and write. And our one purpose is to make Jesus Christ's grace and love known to them. And through this way, we can, you know, help them to read the Bible so they can make a choice their own. Instead, somebody else saying, you are Muslim, you are this, and you are this. Yeah, that's the cross we have to put. We put it up there for a purpose. During the day, it's reflect. It's a mirror. So, yeah, green lights. So people can see from far and maybe ask a question, what is that? So this is Yohana firstborn, little Carrie after her, my wife name, and she have a great honor in a family in Pakistan, so she can named a child in the family, and also she also named people's kids name in the villages. They ask, can you tell us a biblical name for our child?
Being the elder, being married to the eldest son, the elder daughter, and this is tradition, gets the name of all the children in the family. It's the honor.
Yeah. So this is kids Carrie's teaching, and that's going on in Pakistan, and crusades, and we do also Bible seminars. Bible seminar where we train pastors or teach pastors about the grace of God. And I think you may be getting tired hearing about the grace of God, because that is throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Every prophet is crying out saying the grace of God, the mercy of God. So I hope Angel never get tired, and you will also never get tired, because that is the awesome, awesome thing or word to ever comprehend, the grace of God. Be made known in Pakistan, because there's so much legalistic mind, legalism. And you can't imagine, Pakistan, 98% Muslim who follow Sharia law, and 2% Christians who are adopting the same mindset. So you have to shout every day, don't forget the grace of God, like Moses was saying, before you go to the promised land, remember your God. Remember your God. So we have to shout every day, grace of God. If you are something, it's the grace of God. If you have accomplished something, it is the grace of God. If you are living and breathing, it is the grace of God. It is the grace of God. If we are here today, pastor is still sitting and healthy and breathing, it is the grace of God. Because he knows his time is not done. He still have a responsibility to feed you, so you can be extended family of God to go out, to reach the unreached, to make a great damage in a Satan's world. That's our goal. That's our aim. So this is the land we bought, and we are building a new school room. Carrie was there. We put the foundation, two rooms, and on the way, in the process. So please keep that in your prayer. In a prayer that we having a court date. Somebody put a false, you know, accusation and application against us. And so we are waiting for God's timing and judge to say yes, so we can finish our building. And this is the church inside. And when I'm in the United States, I teach online every morning. And people get together 5 a.m. for 20-minute devotion. 20-minute devotion, and I hope that will encourage you to not just come to church only Sunday or Wednesday. Maybe have a home church. Reach your community. Being a little church, being a little Jesus, be shine in your community. That's the goal. So that's the church inside in L shape. One side woman, another side men, and the middle kids. And we teach and we rock in Urdu language. And that's the Easter. And I don't say Easter, I say the Resurrection Sunday. So I teach on Resurrection Sunday, and this is the flock come from many different villages and the community and celebrate the living God. And I often remind them, there's a 7 wonders, and I can prove you there's 8. And everybody say, how come? I say, the 8th wonder, his tomb is empty. And he's the only one who ever walked out and still live and will be forever. So she stopped and she said, hey, can we have a picture? And he was very happy. So that's the real shepherd. And I look like a Rambo with a different color. Different color and clothes have changed. So I'm carrying gun and just, you know, I often say that Carrie talk a lot about Jesus Christ in Pakistan, so I carry gun. So, if you guys have any question before we play the slideshow, I think I still have 14 minutes. We can accomplish a lot. So, that's going on in Pakistan. We just finished the basics book, which is going to be a wonderful tool used in Pakistan to train pastors. We just finished it. We printed that book. Is written by Pastor Gene Cunningham, wonderful man of God, sound teaching, and Pastor Hormans already know about him. So, if you have any question, I got 13 minutes. In the pictures? Yeah. Yeah, they are Christian.
And so all those guys that are riding on the street, they're worshiping the devil for your demon?
Yeah. Mostly people are involved in a lot of exercise. 98% Muslim, they are involved in their faith. So... Yeah, that's the other thing I want to make known. You cannot present the gospel. You have to be a gospel. That's the difference. You don't say, hey, come and have a hot dog with us and we will tell you about Jesus. No. You are there as a witness. As Paul said, you are a living letter. Not by man, not on the stones. It's a living letter by the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm. Jesus?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They allow that.
Yeah.
Yes. When they became a nation in 1947, they needed the Christian vote.
Mm-hmm.
The Muslims wanted their own country to separate from India.
India.
So they gave them.
You're on the mic. Go ahead.
It's okay. They gave them the a little bit of legal
right.
Legal rights. But when it comes into the court where it's a Muslim against a Christian, the Christian never wins.
Yeah.
It's an outside, an outside type of...
Yeah, so it's another way, simple way. We are segregated. So in our community, blocked or walled?
Blocks.
Yeah, blocks. Segregated, separated. So you can have a church in your community. So
there's a Catholic church, there's a Salvation Army, and then there's our church.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
I'm wondering the same thing, because we have a perception of, like Muslim is very hostile, very, they forced it, especially you see predominantly like children and women who don't have the voice, right, and the rights there.
Mm-hmm.
There's Christian colonies, so there's people that are born in the Christian colony. They're born Christian. And one thing that Basil was teaching,
yeah, that
is
you
that you're, there's nobody born Christian. You have to
make a decision,
come and believe, and be born again. That was one thing, just to teach the Christian colonies, and even in the villages, there's people living, and then there'll be two houses that are Christian. We go to their house.
Yeah.
And the Muslims may come and listen, but we don't focus on that. We just focus on Bible says, and we don't ever say anything against.
Yes, because the minute you say anything like disagree with them, you are in a danger.
Mm-hmm.
You are in danger. So, yes.
Well, when I was in Jordan, there were the Muslims and the Christians. If you were born a Christian,
right.
Quote, born a Christian,
mm-hmm.
Meaning you were in the Protestant faith, then you were recognized, but you could not convert over to be a Muslim. Is that... A Muslim could not convert to be a Christian, or they would kill them,
mm-hmm.
Or excommunicate them.
Yes, that's happened. If anybody become a believer in Jesus Christ and openly become a known, they are in great danger. They can be executed. The penalty is death. They will be isolated from their family, all the rights and all the social rights, and nobody will let them be, themselves.
So they're secretly believers.
So secretly believers, there's a lot of believers.
We have one man in Karachi who works in the bank, and he's an officer there, and he emails Castle and says
yeah, so, yeah, he's reading the Bible and also receive Pastor Drew Feeman's book called The Foundation Study in Urdu language. He want to know who is Jesus and everything. Go ahead, sir.
Has your father and your family converted to Christianity?
Born a Christian.
They born in a Christian colony, but they were following a lot of object, a lot of demons. Yeah, they are believer now. They are believer. My mom and dad and other two brothers. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are in that small area, not in a, we are in danger, but say not in danger. Because in that small city, we are like a servants of them. Christian only is a servant over there. Cleans as a sweeper, sitting on a public toilet to earn. So if you, you know, kill them all, then you have to clean your toilet and clean your home and everything. So they don't want to do that, especially in a small area.
It's usually but the flesh that sets a fight up.
So whenever they announce any hate over the speaker and say, let's go and kill, then they become animals. So
I think the confusing thing for us, and one thing that I understood when I was in Jordan, that if you're born Christian doesn't mean you've been saved, but you're born in that Christian family, then I think that's what everybody's probably not clear on, that it's okay
to talk to them.
Yeah, to talk to them.
That's the
confidently. And then
secretly you would maybe go to the Muslim, but I noticed Muslim children there. So,
you know,
were they born Christian?
No. Over there, that's the other tradition, according to their faith. If any child born, the minute is born, they say the Azan. That is their saying, Allah is Almighty and the only one. And they say that in their infant years, and he became a Muslim. So there's a no choice.
But
there's
if
a no
child accepted Christ,
then
he could get excommunicated or killed.
Then you are believer. Then you are believer, and then you have to suffer the consequence of following Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
So Muslims will come and listen. They just don't profess to be a Christian. The first little place that we had, before we had the church, we had just a little prayer center that we rented out. And we had a big speaker on it. And for a year and a half, Basil taught from United States, because he, for the first time that he came, 2 years he was here until he went back.
And
the word of God went out five miles out into the morning air, and God kept it open until one day the police
came, and all the people who were, we were surrounded by Muslims and mosques and schools where they teach Quran. So they said, our wives, when they make a breakfast, they are singing psalms. They are saying Bible verses. So it's not acceptable. You must shut it down, otherwise we are coming to tear everything down. So that word make known to us, and we have to submit it. Otherwise, if I stand up, it can be burned, the whole colony.
And we not only shut it down, we took the whole speaker off.
Yeah.
It wasn't even there.
Yeah.
Not
so. Yeah. Yes, go ahead, Nick.
What is the size?
Size? How big? Yeah, there's a four region. Four region.
Size.
Yeah, probably. Or you can Google it and find out. Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe I will study that. Thank you. Go ahead. The people did not do anything, but there was a demonic activities. And in my home, when I was reading Bible, I can see those faces giggling around me. And wanna let you know, when you are in that kind of situation, never give them attention, because that's their purpose. Satan's want a little attention.
Never,
and
never
yeah. When you become a fearful, then you are under his grip. You're not, as a believer, you're not going to be possessed, but you're going to be influenced or tense or scared. So I said, I don't have a time, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So I'm just reading my Bible. And they walk away in shame because I did not give answer.
Once you acknowledge them, then you started...
You're giving them power. Yeah. Giving them power. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they consider honor to do violate things to you so they can gain reward. And that's the famous reward is known to world, 72 virgins. If you die for Allah being in jihad, then you have a 72 virgins waiting in the glory of Allah.
There is a great animosity between Hindus and Muslims.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had to, because there was just so much hate.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Pastor, since you went through the story, getting the woman that God had for you,
mm-hmm.
tell them about, you were telling me last night that they wanted to convert you back over to the Muslims and
yeah.
they offered you...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's the other offer. There's a different way to, you know, to trying to convert people. First force, secondly, they will offer you. So I was offered two wives. two wives and big property. Yeah, they didn't offer camels, but big property and a good social status, and even one group said, we will give you American passport. Just one thing, deny Jesus Christ and accept our belief. And I said no.
And you didn't even ask to see the two women, did you?
No. Before marriage.
The enemy was trying to get him away.
Yeah.
You are a poor Christian. Jehovah's Witness came.
Yeah.
To
preach Jehovah Bible, Jehovah Witness came, they said, preach Jehovah Bible and our curriculum. We will also give you good position and house and good salary. And I say, sorry.
You looked at their Bible and...
I said, no.
This is not right.
That's not real deal. Yes, sir.
Did I understand you to say that you had cancer and couldn't have children, but you do have children?
No.
We have many spiritual children. Yeah. 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 Go ahead. There was a hand. Go ahead, sir. Don't be shy. I don't bite. Okay. So.
This is a Christmas
church. Oh. So you want to live in Pakistan? Oh, nice. So, yeah, let's see the slide.
This is a Christmas care package. It's the 30th annual year.
Do we have to put a sound in?
If you have sound, there should be a jack on the floor.
Right here.
Okay, that's the one.
We may have to do a quick sound check because it has to come through the piano.
Can you move a little bit here? Okay.
So Christmas Care Packages is a 30 annual. The children in the school is $10. $10 for each child will supply their need. We give them a sweater, a hat, two pairs of socks, shoes. That'll be in the video. And then $5 a child will cover all the kids in the villages. And the big thing is we always have curriculum. And the Word of God in their language, in English. And
yeah.
So this is last year's
Christmas care package. It's working good. So that was our Christmas care package we do every year. And
you were able to give the gospel to every one of those groups of kids that we saw.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And that's the purpose, you know, when we bring the kids the gift, we say, this gift is going to be, you know, done today or tomorrow. But the best gift we are going to talk about that is God ever gave to mankind, and His name is Jesus. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's tradition, or if they're still hanging on to Muslim beliefs, or if it wasn't a Muslim belief to begin with. Did you ever have any of your adult women throw off that garb or the headdress, or is it like a Catholic wearing the head covering?
In a Muslim tradition, they have a, you know, burqa,
cover up.
And in Christian, that is mostly for, you know, respecting and covering your body.
Okay.
It's not like a tradition. No. Yeah, for reverence. Especially, you know, if, like a Carrie, she's my wife, and if my dad will come in home, she have to cover her head in respect, out of respect. So it's mostly for out of respect, and also...
And then he'll say, you can take it.
Yeah. And the other reason you don't want, especially women, they don't want anybody see their body parts, you know. Yeah. So only husband. That body is designed by God, especially for women, to only husband to see. Nobody else.
So they would do the honor
killing. Yeah. Yeah.
They were not covered.
Muslim too. Yeah. We are teaching over there the other man-made tradition that, you know, in Islam. Women, you are as a slave or third class, or even you are own to husband. If you will not please your husband, guess what? Your husband have a right to marry to someone else or someone else. And in same time, you can have, if a man is able, he can have a sixth wife. So, in Christianity over there, one wife, that's it.
But you're saying Christianity is not really, I mean, if they're practicing all these other different things and the umbrella of Christianity, then they're not been born again Christian, but they still have to, so they don't go by the honor killing.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, that's the other thing, you know, a lot of missionaries goes and making that known to them, hey, you must born again. How? Believe in Jesus Christ. And then you are a child of God. You are a daughter of God.
They say they're Christians, but they're not Christians.
No matter what, they were born in the Christian colony,
right,
under a Christian
umbrella.
Their family is Messiah. That's their last name, is Messiah, which is Messiah, which means Christ. You can take on another Christian name, like Bethel did, he took on John. But your last name tells you who you are.
That's your identity. That is your identity.
You are a believer, though.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
that's why I want to make it clear.
Yeah.
When you say Christian, that doesn't really mean that they're born again.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
The umbrella of like Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Like, everybody in Pakistan, they believe in America, everybody is a Christian. But we know, obviously, everybody who lives in America, they are not Christian because there are so many other, you know, faith. Believe. Yeah.
Would the Pakistani think that everyone in America is Christian?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, mostly.
I was born in a Catholic family. But
so.
I had to believe in Jesus at a certain point in my life.
To become a believer and child of God. And any other question?
Church Grace Church, but not doctrinal. I mean, I needed more than just Sunday, because I came from my life was without the Lord.
Yeah, she's a living testimony. And maybe tomorrow, if you guys, especially women, if you wanna hang on around her, it will be blessing for you.
So you're saying
something good can come out of Massachusetts? Yeah. Yeah, hope. Yeah, the new. Uh-huh. So, go ahead. Mostly the identification of Muslims, yeah. They have a...
There's a just set on their head in like a scarf. The Muslims have a weight that they wrap it around their head.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will try to cover everything, yeah. Yeah, and their most of time is just a black color. It's the color of some time, or most of time. Long ago.
It's on top of their old garbage dump on the outskirts of the... So, all the poor people migrate, which is, of course, the Christians are the poorest, and then poor Muslims. We have Muslims. We have about 12 Muslims in our school. We tell the family, you know, we're going to be teaching Jesus Christ. That's one of the school. That's one of the curriculum. If you don't want your son or daughter to be in that class, they can go in a separate class.
Uh-huh. It's a free will choice, and they still learn and they recite Bible verses like when they go home.
Do you get some Muslims that say they want their children exempt?
Nobody yet.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. We are not yet in a trouble, thank God. Yeah. So there's a many kind of identifications, especially they were black. Black burqa. It's cover, and sometimes even their feet and hand and everything is covered. And if it's Christian from any other country in United States, they are free. They are not in that bondage. Yes, sir. How can you support? First condition, pray. Which I know you guys, the body of Christ, will do that. Yes, we are involved in a... You guys can, you know, contact and go on a website. We have a newsletter, monthly things going on, what we are doing, what is God doing over there. So we need your prayer support. And also, you know, we don't take anything from pagan. According to John says, you know, when missionary comes, they are not relying on the outside, they are unbelievers. So yes, you can support financially, and we will be love to.
There's also
Yeah. We will leave some cards with Pastor, and if you guys want to have a cards, we can give it to you. You can check on the website what's going on there. We have a school which is continually going on. We have an outreach ministry which is a non-stop, which is an outreach with the villages. Then we have a pastor seminars. Then we have a children ministry, which is yearly, which we promote 2 or 3 months ahead, so we can have everything together. And when I go to Pakistan in November, so I purchase everything there. Why? Because I don't want to purchase here and then take it, and most of money just spend it for just airfare. So we do smart thing. That's... So we buy everything over there except one thing. Dum-dum. American Dum Dum, they love it. So I take American Dum Dum over there, and they are happiest kids. Dum Dum is a lollipop. It's a lollipop. It's American candy. Yeah. So it's called, also called Dum Dum lollipop or sucker. Yeah, I think that's the name. So, yeah, we would love to, you know, have your support, and it's ongoing ministry, and pray, and then do whatever you can to advance Jesus' name in Pakistan. Children ministry, school, village ministry, and somebody just gave us a film projector, and this is going to be our film ministry, going in a long term or far, far villages to show Jesus movie and then explain who is Jesus and what he did and what happened.
We also translate material. We send to 37 different pastors every month. Right now we're translating the Christian Warrior by Pastor Gene Cunningham, chapter at a time, and that's their
monthly
study.
Yeah. Foundation study.
We have also animal ministry. We just started purchasing animals.
Yeah.
So
helping Christians, families who are very poor or widows, so they can have something to self-support, like goat, so they can milk it and maybe help themselves, or maybe sell ox, goat, and buffalo, chickens. Cow. Milk cow. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes, let's do it. So, before we do worship, let's little have a prayer, word of prayer, right? Pastor, will you please bless us with a word of prayer? Okay, sure. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for dying for us and for the world, so that we can carry on that message to the unreached. And thank you for your Spirit, the Holy Spirit that dwelt us and sealed us to protect us from all evils and from the evil one who wanna destroy. So Father, I wanna pray for the body of believers under you have design and put the care of Pastor Herman Maddox. Father, continue, give him strength and courage and wisdom and insight and revelation to continue be a good shepherd following the great shepherd, to be a living example for the people you have given to him, so they can be in power with the message and the doctrine of your truth going out, not just here but in the air. Father, use them in mighty way. And thank you so much for this evening and for all the questions. And if anything we were unable to discuss or comprehend, Father, your Spirit make known to each of us. Thank you for this body, and thank you. Continue advance them in your country, in Jesus' name. Amen. Where's the third one? Where's the other one? Where's the other one? You want to put some cards in second. And here's our some cards if you guys want to take a look. We have an email address, website, and phone number. He can pass out. Yeah, Ben is bringing another one, so we are going to rock here. Come on, Ben. You play this one and I will play that one. You can come over here. Okay, Nick. Yeah. You can get me and you play big one. Okay. So I'm going to sing Psalms in tongue. Sorry. I'm going to sing Psalms in my language, which is a tongue. In a different tongue. I'm not going to speak in tongue because we are not. Bass? Yeah.
मेरी रूह खुदा की प्यासी है 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 दिन रात ये आंसू बहते हैं दुनिया वाले सब कहते हैं है कौन कहाँ है तेरा खुदा दिन रात ये आंसू बहते हैं दुनिया वाले सब कहते हैं है कौन कहाँ है तेरा खुदा मेरे टूटे दिल की आस है तू मेरी रूह खुदा की प्यासी है मेरी रूह खुदा की प्यासी है
That was the Psalms 42. My soul is thirsty for you, O Lord, O living God, as deer is, you know, wandering or desiring for water, so my soul for you. Yeah. And day and night my soul is longing for you. My enemy is surrounded and saying, where is your God? And I'm saying, I can't wait to be in your presence. That's why I'm saying, my soul is thirsty for you, O Lord. Thank you very much. You've been wonderful. Thank you.